All right, here's a favorite one of mine. Number four, working memory. I'm going to use the exact same words that they used. Working memory. This is the capacity, the mental capacity, to hold and manipulate and adapt multiple pieces of information while thinking, deciding, or solving problems. Yep. The mental capacity to hold and manipulate multiple pieces of information while thinking, deciding, or solving problems. Around our place, we sometimes talk about the view that you have from your seat. So I'll say to my children's pastor, since I was just talking about a moment ago, from your seat, from your perspective, if we do this decision, how does that affect your world? I'll say to my group's pastor, from your seat, from your perch, you know, as they used to say, from your perspective, if we make this decision, how does it affect your world? Say to my financial person, from your seat, from your perspective, if I make this decision, how does this affect your world? Yes, I can get their views and I should lean on their memory. I should get their input. But nobody has a better view of the bigger picture of what God is doing at your church than the senior pastor in your seat, in your perch. And you have to have a general capacity to look at all the different pieces of your church and hold them in such a way that if you change one over here, how does it affect that one over there? And you don't always have the time to run the data. You don't always have the time to hold five different committee meetings. Now, if it's big and it's significant, yes, but just day to day. I'll give you just a very simple example of something that happened recently. We were running a little bit behind on our signups for an event. I'm sure you can't relate, but they weren't where we wanted them to be. So a promotion was going to go out on Thursday. And I forget if it was a text or an email or, you know, some phone calls or whatever, but it was to go out on Wednesday. Well, somebody made the decision to move it to Wednesday. Or excuse me, it was to go out on Thursday and somebody made the decision to move it to Wednesday. And so Wednesday, their little team rallied together, sent out a whole bunch of reminders about this thing that was behind. The problem is, there was another team that was working on something else that wasn't as urgent, but it was also on Wednesday. So there were about 450 people in our church that got two phone calls or two texts or two emails at the same time about two different things. And that's just not the way that we do things. That's not the way that we operate. That's at best chasing two rabbits and catching none. But at worst, it's frustration. And maybe there is some fruit there. You know, most people understood and all of that. But this is where somebody had to say, okay, if I change it here, what does that mean for that? And so, you know, you can't always just change one thing. We change one thing, it has a ripple effect in the others. Now, it seems so simple. Because what we had to say was, hey, we're going to move our Thursday push to Wednesday. And since your Wednesday push isn't as urgent, you take my spot on Thursday. But working memory failed. People knew. So it's just a minor thing. But then it can be even bigger. You've got something coming up in 2 weeks that is dependent on something else getting done before then. And you are the only one that knows how those two things are connected because you're moving those pieces, okay? I've got to get this new curriculum up and running before we start recruiting the new people for the middle school in a few weeks. Because if we don't have that in-house and you know, somebody over here is ordering it and putting it together and preparing the packages, then I'm not going to be ready to roll that out. And so we have this ability to see things and to put the lattice work of the church in perspective. And so we have to understand what's going on. We do depend on the Lord. You know, we make plans, Proverbs 16, 19 says, but it's the Lord that establishes his steps. Luke 14, Jesus talks about building that tower, but says, first you must sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it. I imagine if we asked a follow-up question, Jesus would say, yeah, it's not just about the money, but it's about the people, it's about the time, it's about competing priorities. So all of that stuff goes into it. But I like this one, Proverbs 21:5. The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. So you have to work to maintain perspective. And part of that is to be aware of your constraints, of what we can't do. Now, it sounds simple to say one constraint is doctrine. You know, we're constrained, like that's just not something we do. And so that would be, you know, a working memory of that just doesn't fit who we are. That's not aligned with our morals. That's not aligned with our values. And you have to remember that. Things fall out of blessing when that happens. But then, you know, culture, protecting the culture, remembering who you are as a culture, knowing where you are with the budget before you move forward, knowing what your people capacity might be, that your team's capacity, your volunteer capacity, before you add a project, can they do that project? Is it okay to stress them, or do we need to wait till something is completed? Generally speaking, from your seat, you have the best perspective. But then you have to remember things. Remember what people are doing. Remember what projects are running overtime. Remember what projects have been completed. Remember what's getting done early. Remember what your staff are engaged in. You don't have to know every single detail, but you have to have that general picture of where we are, what we're doing, where we're going. And if you don't, you revisit it and you bring it back into, you know, what, and it was, you know, short-term memory or working memory, or there's some old computer terms with ROM and RAM and all that that I won't go into. But then I have to get inputs to have this memory. So are you getting the right information? And then if you are getting the right information, are you evaluating it? So for example, do you have a general idea of how many people you have in groups right now? Do you have a general idea of how many people are going to be at the next membership class? Do you have a general idea of what are the issues inside of your building? I joked the other day, we've known for 4 years that we've had this issue with the location that we meet. And we walked in the other day and the lights had fallen. I mean, like I'm talking about, they just like literally had fallen out of the ceiling. I'm not trying to be like, I mean, they fell. But for 4 years, we knew it, you know, and they kept saying, you need to fix it. You're going to have to fix it one day. And we had a plan to fix it this fall. But our fall and their fall were not tied together. And, you know, it's just like, did we forget about that issue? You know, we really had not forgot about it, but we were just, you know, we put it on the deck, but things have a way of just happening. So, you know, we just kind of forgot about it as we did that. But then, you know, what about, you know, the working memory of your staff and what they're doing and who's overloaded and who's not overloaded, who's going on vacation in a couple of weeks, who's going to cover for them, you know, who am I going to hire in 3 months, what hiring has been on hold, all of these things. Yes, you can write them down. Yes, you can make notes. Yes, you can use tools to help you with this. But you somehow or another got to have that in the working memory. I'm amazed when I ask my staff the very thing that they should be most focused on, and they can't even give me a general number. How many do you have signed up for membership? What's been our average kids' attendance in middle school for the last 2 or 3 weeks? I want you to know, on average, how many first-time guests have we had during this series? I'm not asking you to, you know, be precise and say 17.2, but you can say we've wobbled anywhere between this. How full is our first service now? I like it. I asked somebody that the other day. They said 58%. It's like gold star for you. But I've got to get these inputs from them. So they have to have a little bit of working memory for their area. And I've been a proponent of this. I mean, you've heard me beat this drum that, you know, numbers talk to you. I'm not interested in a story. I'm not interested in anecdote. I love all that. I can use all that. I can sell things on that, but I need to know the numbers. Like, I've just got to have perspective. You know, are we on budget for the month? Or are we behind on budget for the month? That's a good start. But now tell me a little bit more. Well, it was 5 Sundays this month. Or we had the payroll go through for the first of the month on this month's budget. So we actually had 3 payrolls that were deducted, even though the pay didn't go out because of a holiday. Okay, that's what I want to know. That's why when I look at it, it doesn't look like I expected it to look. Oh, we had those 2 snow days back at the beginning of the month. You know, you got to know that kind of stuff. So you got to work on the memory. I mean, I ask pastors all the time when they come into coaching, what's been your average attendance on a good Sunday for, you know, the last 4 or 5 months? Oh, I don't know. I have to go look it up. You should probably know that. You know, what's your average weekly budget? I don't know. We've got an accountant. You should probably know that. I mean, how many first-time guest cards are you getting? They don't usually go to my desk first. Okay, get that number. Know these things. Now, I know I've got this big board. By the way, I am a fan. A very serious application I would have is each week you should be getting inputs. Now, for me, that's a weekly dashboard. What you know, we jokingly refer to as the big dashboard. It now just comes to me as the weekly report. So I get 2 weekly reports. On Monday, I get the numbers. I get the weekly report for the numbers. On Wednesday, I get the weekly calendar for this week, the weekly calendar for next week, and then the full master calendar for the rest of the year. Now that goes to all of my executive staff. But I can look at the weekly calendar for this week, and I can say on Wednesday at lunchtime, did we get the stuff done on Monday, Tuesday? Are we on track to get the stuff done for Wednesday, Thursday? Some of our staff work on Friday. And then what's coming up on this Sunday? You can't always trust your memory, so you get the reports. But then you have to engage them. You have to evaluate them. You have to look at it. Attendance, giving, groups, serving, salvations, first-time guest. Those things matter to me. Now, I'm also interested in kids. I'm also interested in volunteers and welcome team. And how many people do we have come back for a second time? All that stuff matters. I mean, that weekly dashboard review for me, I mean, you've heard me say, even though maybe I'm not necessarily built this way, I've learned to think this way. You know, those numbers begin to speak to me. And I remember at least for the last few weeks. And so what I do is I have a benchmark number and I have the reality number. And I don't know, every week in my mind, if it doesn't hit the benchmark, it gets a little X below it. And if I get like 2 X's, I start raising the conversation. If I get 3 X's, you know, we're in urgent mode now. Like, we are going to do something. I'll talk about that in a minute. But you just have to know. I mean, can you imagine, you know, walking into the CEO of Disney and asking them about the big movie that they released last summer and them not being able to tell you how many tickets were sold? I mean, if we went over, I mean, we're in Disney now. If we went over to the park and we asked the guy, how many people, whoever's head of the parks over there, he'd say, how many people did you have at the Magic Kingdom yesterday? Or how many people on average attended last week? And they couldn't tell you? Oh, they could tell you. I mean, they're getting those reports. And they know. And they know how many of those $30 balls that they sell. And then how many of those $7 drinks that they sell. and they know what the wait time was for the newest ride. I mean, they know their metrics, and that's what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about having a working memory of how long can I go with that not hitting? And then, you know, if you can't do that, you have it available to you. You know, some of you are like Henry Ford. Henry Ford had a terrible memory, but he said, with a punch of a button, I can get it. So, you know, it's there where you can work with it. All right, I beat that enough, but I'll say just one more thing about this. Part of your working memory, too, is not just about the metrics, but it's about conversations. So for every person that reports to you, you need to have a working memory about what your last discussion was about what their key result areas are, about your general feel on their commitment to your church, about what might be the external pressures that are pulling on them, and what's their general attitude in working with you. I cannot, but if somebody else can, I'll take it. I was just going with the flow on that one. Somebody read it back. I'll try to repeat them.
Areas of responsibility and a real feeling about you and your church, working a few.
Last discussion, key result areas.
Yeah, so your last discussion, just a few notes about what were the last things I talked to them about. So, you know, I met with Keith about a video that we're doing. And we're going to work out, is that going to be a video recording or is it going to be live? And I have a few notes on that so that when I meet with Keith again, I can refer to those notes. I said, hey, last time you told me you thought it was going to be 4 p.m. I'm probably going to be on Eastern time when that happens. You're going to be on Central time. Let's talk about that. Just a few little notes. And then, you know, Keith, like, what was his emotional level about it? Well, he was excited about that. I was excited about it. I made a few promises. I better write those promises down. I said, oh, I'm going to send some books, or I said, oh, we'll do some giveaways as part of that. Just a few little notes of our conversation. And then how did I leave it? I think I left it pretty good. And I think Keith was excited. I was excited. So the emotional feeling was good. Now, you know, the other day I had to have a tough conversation with an administrator. I mean, and it was one of those like strange conversations because I needed them to push me more. Like they were sitting there not getting something done because they weren't asking for it from me. And they're like, oh, I know you're busy. I know you got stuff going on. I'm like, it doesn't matter. If this is something that has to be done, I mean, it wasn't payroll, but if you can imagine it was. Like if we have to submit payroll today, don't rely on me to remember that we have to submit payroll today. Bug me and say payroll's in your inbox or payroll's in our, you know, little security thingy that I'd have to log into and approve it for, you know. Just can you remind me through the password again? Okay, yeah, work in memory. But still, you know, we did that. So just make some little notes. So like your last discussion. And then what are the key result areas? You know, what are the key things you're asking them about? So if it's your growth group pastor, you know, or your group's pastor, like is this sign-up season or is this recruitment season or is this, let's see, what are they, focus, form, fill, facilitate, you know? So you got to kind of know like what those are. Or if this is your assimilation person, you know, how's our average first-time guest doing against the benchmarks, or how many people did we have on the first impression team or whatever? And then just a little note about the emotions of that conversation. Did you leave it kind of constrained? You know, this assistant, I have to admit, you know, I made a little frowny face at the end of that conversation because, you know, I could tell it was tough. She was sad with it. So now I got to put something in there to follow up on that. And, you know, and I right or wrong, I try to do the sandwich thing, you know, where I give them something good and then I handle something bad and then I try to frame it with something good, you know, and all that. There's some, you know, bad terms for that too, but I try to do that, you know, the praise sandwich, but it's been called cruder terms as it might be. But if nothing else, I say, okay, you know, now I need to follow up. How did you feel about that conversation? You know, are we good on this? You know, we get this done. Or when it does happen, right the next time, I overly praise. Yeah, I can change that frowny face or whatever. And then what are some things, the one, you may have said it, but then what are some things that are going on in their personal life? You know, that might be affecting, you know, what's going on. Maybe their spouse is going through a transition. Maybe they're pregnant. Maybe they're moving. You know, maybe they've got a surgery coming up And these are just some general things. You know, they just got engaged. And by the way, you need to, if when the church gets bigger, you got to have some little spies out there. Like, you know, I don't remember all the birthdays of who we have on our staff, but my assistant reminds me, you know, get a little note on Monday. Hey, this is so-and-so's work anniversary. This is so-and-so's personal, you know, marriage anniversary. This is their birthday. And, you know, our staff's not big enough where we have one of those every week, but, you know, we'll have a couple a month and want to be able to mention it. Then I have to know, like, do they like public praise or private praise? You know, how do I reward them? I talk about that in the ministry system, but it applies to your staff. This is just sort of working memory, or at least having inputs, or, you know, write it down, put it where you can review it so that it stays fresh.